Welcome back on this Friday, the 22nd day of March, 2024. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and let's start off our look back at the week that was, more or less chronologically, starting with a sign of the times from the Biden puppet's Banana Republic. And as I've noted before, when the Daily Mail has to point it out, you know it's getting pretty obvious. The headline tells the tale, burglary tourists. Now, this is a different form of illegal immigrant. Because they're only temporary. They just loot and go back home. They fly from South America, it says, to rob wealthy L.A. homes. The LAPD has launched a task force, it begins, to try to crack down on what they call burglary tourists, who realize that since there's no law enforcement, they can get away with it, have a great vacation, go home with the loot. They use the U.S. tourism visa system to commit crimes. Cunning criminals, it said. Well, folks, not that cunning. It's obvious to anybody with half a brain. But they're coming from Chile, Ecuador, Colombia, and Peru to target wealthy neighborhoods and places where relaxed criminal justice, to put it mildly, and non-existent laws allow them to conduct home burglaries before returning home with the loot while out on bail. The troubling trend of what's called lanzas internacionales, translated as international thieves, dates back at least 2 years, and what happened just before that across America, while the problems also reared its ugly head in the United Kingdom. For probably the very same reasons. Authorities in L.A. announced the task force after a 17-year-old Chilean national was caught in Arizona following a series of jewel heists across the California city. Whereupon the FBI, now you know it's serious, set up its own task force to combat the thieves in 2022. Or is it just aid and abet, folks? Your guess is as good as mine. And we're probably both on the same page by this point. The suspect and his two accomplices, a 32-year-old, a 23-year-old, also from Chile, were taken into custody where they admitted to breaking into a number of homes in the regions. And no doubt they figured out to avoid the ultra-wealthy homes of the Hollywood hoi polloi, who probably have armed bodyguards. Oh, and this would be funny if it wasn't so, well, over-the-top common. The teenager, who hasn't been identified for the obvious reason that minors who commit crimes are able to get away with it, falsified Venezuelan ID and continuously got away from the, well, clueless, some of us might say, LAPD, by making excuses that his parents had left him alone in the country with a friend of the family, who taught him how to rob homes, I guess, and that's okay, too. Experts say the issue's been increasing as South Americans continue to use the tourist visa system to rob gullible and, yes, folks, completely disarmed in certain parts of the country, Americans. And I kid you not, folks, I actually saw this story last week but didn't do it because it was just plain, oh, you've got to be kidding, stupid. But there are actually places in the country where wealthy homeowners are leaving the key fobs for their new cars and SUVs on the front porch or in little special boxes so the thieves can just go ahead and take them without having to go to the trouble of breaking in and getting the keys. The program, called ESTA, Electronic System for Travel Authorization, allows South Americans to enter the United States for an unlimited number of 90-day periods, or you might say 90-day cashless shopping sprees. After entering the country, says the Daily Mail, they carry out strings of break-ins and other crimes, bringing home the loot, up to hundreds of millions of dollars in stolen goods. I guess that more than pays for the plane tickets and the per diem. And if they manage to get up to $500 million or so in stolen loot, well, they're into Letitia James, or is it Jesse James territory. And that Lanza Nacional moved to seize Trump's assets this week. Said the LAPD's Deputy Chief Alan Hamilton, the number of crimes being tied to these kinds of crews are way, way up. And in one part of L.A. alone, there were 94 burglaries believed to be committed by the crime tourists in 2023. And they really love homes that are connected to open spaces, hiking trails, and canyons that give them access. L.A. Police Chief Dominic Choi added that, quote, I can tell you that we have a significant increase in burglaries from organized groups that are outside this country that are coming into the country, and they're targeting high-end residents. The visiting criminals, the story said, are emboldened in their discovery of a sweet spot in the American criminal just us system. And yeah, folks, gee, there's a shocker, right? And what's more, low bail laws or even no cash bail allows the repeat offenders endless opportunities to continue their brazen heists even after they are, repeatedly caught. Yeah, call it rob, return, rinse, and repeat. And ask yourself this question. Given that they intended on going home with the loot anyway, what's the worst that could happen? Because when they do get caught and mostly manage to get out of jail free, but maybe eventually their number comes up if they're really unlucky, and they say to them, we're going to throw you in jail. What's the average criminal going to do? Yeah, claim asylum and then get himself some free bus tickets to some other leftist hellhole sanctuary city. to terrorize some more once-free Americans there. Anybody see a pattern here? Well, if not yet, try this sign of the times. In Pittsburgh, police, sick, will no longer respond to emergencies via 911 calls that are not actually in progress. Otherwise, you're on your own. But don't worry, they're not going to want you to have a gun either. It's got to do, of course, with staffing. Who wants to be a cop when there aren't any laws to enforce anyway? And overnight, the city is saying only 20 police officers will be available in total to cover the entire city of Pittsburgh. I'm thinking maybe burglary tourism might have a new destination resort. Now, arguably, folks, the really big news of the week came out after Monday, although it happened on Monday, when the so-called Supreme Court, and they're rapidly losing any such distinction, heard oral arguments that truthfully should have had everybody who showed up for the government side of the equation and said, I'm here to censor you and make damn sure you don't even have a chance to say anything about it, clapped in irons and charged with, well, 18 U.S.C. 242 for starters, depriving the American people of rights, but really, it turns out to be treason, so they should have been clapped in irons and be awaiting trial. But the fact that that didn't happen speaks volumes. Lots and lots of commentary came out later on in the week. I have done entire shows on it by this point. If you want a more detailed look, I would hardly suggest take a listen to the Come Out of Her My People show for this week. But I can't help but think Matt Taibbi did a good job on his racket news site, saying, well, this is obvious. The First Amendment just took a beating in the so-called Supreme Court. The oral arguments during Murthy v. Missouri, or Missouri v. Biden, multiple ways of talking about the same abomination, had so-called justice, and I gotta say sick, double sick, Ketanji Brown Jackson, you know, the woman that doesn't know what a woman is. Turns out she's just as ignorant of the Bill of Rights, interrogating the Solicitor General of Louisiana and actually saying that her biggest concern was, quote, your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government, unquote. To which Taibbi points out, not a single justice actually said, you've got to be blankety-blanket kidding me. That's the whole point of the First Amendment, you blithering moron. As Taibbi said, the line about the Bill of Rights hamstringing the government, which is pretty well a decent summary of what it's supposed to do, uttered by one black robe priest of another god, was astonishing enough. But he said, listening as not one of the other eight justices pointed out that the entire purpose of that First Amendment is to do exactly that, is kind of like watching someone drive a tank back and forth over Old Yeller. By the time the hearing was over, I needed a bite stick. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, folks, called this case the most important First Amendment case in American history. And to say that this is kind of an acid test to see whether the Supreme Court still even deserves to exist is probably an understatement. But switching gears a bit now. By Tuesday, folks, the news did really begin with the good, the bad, and the ugly, as the intro there might suggest. And actually, because the transition is kind of, interesting, I'm going to leave it to the listener to try to figure out where it is. Let's start with this story, though, and unless otherwise noted, several of these are from the naturalnews.com site of Mike Adams and Company. The first one says, and this is clearly the good news, Panama has banned Doctors Without Morals, or Doctors Without Borders, as it's sometimes called, after discovering, who could have thought it, major corruption at NGO tents in various migrant camps. In other words, staging stations for the invasion of the United States. Panama's Had Enough begins a piece by Ethan Huff of Doctors Without Borders, an NGO or non-governmental organization, which means public-private partner of the fascist group, folks, which is reportedly engaged in shady behavior, say it isn't so, south of the border, after discovering both corruption and a lack of staffing at Doctors Without Borders at their tents in so-called migrant camps. A team from Operation Burning Edge has provided Panamanian officials with all the evidence they needed to kick that NGO out of the country, tweeted Ann Vandersteel, information war correspondent at Operation Burning Edge, and somebody that your host has come to respect. The takedown of this corrupt NGO means one NGO down and 63 to go. This bold move, she said, should be heralded as just. due to the serious concern the Panamanians have with respect to the illegal invasion, money laundering, and corruption that comes with these UN-funded NGOs, noting that Doctors Without Morals, of course, really means, Doctors Without Borders. But regardless, you get the point. The UN Front Group had this to say, MSF, they call it Médecins Sans Frontières, another name that doesn't lend itself quite as readily to being turned into what it really is, they say provides medical and psychological health care to an average of 5,000 people per month at the San Vicente and Lajas Blancas migrant welcoming centers in southern Panama. And they assist all kinds of people at all kinds of different points along the migration route. Now, the invasion route is a better way to put it, between South America, Central America, Mexico, and the formerly free United States. And they said, we provide free and confidential support to people on the move, unquote. And if we ever wake up, folks, that will eventually come to an end. Otherwise, the United States will. More good news next, but again, the fact that it's even necessary certainly isn't. The chairman of the House Administration Oversight Subcommittee, Representative Barry Loudermilk of Georgia, has announced that he might, would be better news if he would, make referrals for criminal obstruction or House Ethics Committee violations, hopefully both, related to the January 6th so-called Select Committee, and expressed his frustration over the fact that much of the evidence, that the committee gathered for their so-called inquiry, including videotapes and transcripts of crucial interviews, has been, who could have thought it, suppressed. Some documents and interviews have been moved to other federal agencies where they've been deep six for the most part, while others have been outright deleted or destroyed. In addition, some of the evidence has been conveniently locked behind passwords that are not, of course, being provided to the Oversight Subcommittee for its investigation. And on a recent interview on the Just the News, No Noise show, Loudermilk said he believes that those who acted wrongly and in bad faith, too, as well as in violation of their oaths, folks, on that January 6th committee should be held accountable. And that, he admitted, is going to be a little ways down the road because there's a lot more information they have to get, and obviously they're not going to be forthcoming on that score. And he said we need to build not only this to get the truth out to the American people, but to see just how big this case potentially is for obstruction. And of course, when we realize that the whole thing was a setup, it's a lot bigger still. Another little bit of good news next. We've actually heard it before. So the good news is that, once again, it's getting at least a few headlines. Geological Record says the headline, courtesy of Lance D. Johnson, show a correlation between falling carbon dioxide levels, things, in other words, that Big Brother and his public-private partner, so-called science minions, are pushing for, and, you ready, mass extinction events, which, you know, they're also pushing for. But at least this time, people may start to figure it out. The Geological Timescale, or GTS, it begins, contains certain eras where carbon dioxide, or CO2 levels, were historically high due to thriving plant life. And they also show periods where CO2 levels were catastrophically low. Those correlate with mass extinction events and the inability of certain species, like maybe mankind, well, certainly others in the past, to adapt. The climate and botanical history of these eras and the volcanic and seismic events that occurred over these same time periods indicate the all-important influence of atmospheric carbon dioxide levels over life on Earth. So the idea that you're breathing out is harmful to the planet, folks, is an absolute, unmitigated, bald-faced, satanically evil lie. And I put that in there. But, says this story, this history of the CO2 cycle and its natural sequestration has implications, to put it mildly, for the survival of entire species. Put into the current vernacular, the goal of net zero that the globalists are pushing to sequester carbon into the ground and reduce it to essentially zero is a path towards devastation and the destruction of multiple species, not just mankind, but that's certainly the big one over time. On the bad news front, a couple of stories related to Gulag's own version of the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator movies. Part A, Apple, one of the world's two premier evil phone companies, is in talks with Gulag, a.k.a. Google, the other one, to use its Gemini AI to power their iPhone. Or put bluntly, to give that Terminator even more direct access than the movies showed. But wait, there's more. Big tech giant and search giant Gulag, that's the proper pronunciation, folks, has confirmed that they're going to begin rolling out restrictions on its AI-powered chatbot Gemini, specifically to limit providing answers about election-related queries on a global basis. This update to Gemini, it says, is already live in the United States, and Gulag has begun rolling it out in India and other major countries all over the world where elections are set to take place, maybe at least, in coming months. And this shift, says Natural News, highlights not only the role that generative AI has been playing, but also has the potential to play in the election process. And it shows Gulag's concern about how that service, listen to this and weep, might get weaponized, as well as produce inaccurate or misleading responses. The point here, folks, is that they want to weaponize it, all right. They just want to make sure it doesn't even tell you what it's up to. Does that sound a little bit familiar? Queries regarding political parties, candidates, or politicians now return a preset canned message. When a query about a particular political party or candidate is asked, Gemini shows this message. I'm still learning how to answer this question. In the meantime, try Gulag search. And he didn't spell it right, but hey, that's AI for you. Unquote. In some cases, the tool can still be gamed, they note. In its own analysis, TechCrunch found that the AI tool can be compelled to show answers when passing on queries relating to elections if they have typos. Don't worry, Gulag will no doubt fix that so that in every respect, the Terminator that is planned for your future won't tip you off on what it's being engineered to do. Said TechCrunch policy-focused writer Jagmeet Singh, quote, it's likely that the responses from the AI will continue to be tweaked in a game of prompt engineering whack-a-mole, unquote. So are we up to the ugly part yet? Well, here's one more. In a few short weeks, says this piece from Ethan Huff, it'll no longer be legal for people unfortunate enough to still be in Scotland to refer to males as men. Thanks to the passage of what is laughably called the Hate Crimes and Public Order Bill in Scotland. Said bill, they note, was passed 3 full years ago, but will only just now come into effect as of April Fool's Day 2024. And because of the bill's ridiculous implications, many are still wondering if it really is some kind of April Fool's joke. Still, the bill appears to have been passed, allegedly, because of a crime committed by Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling, who was reported to the police in England for calling a trans so-called woman broadcaster, India Willoughby, a biological male by, well, what he really is, a man. Well, some of us might say at least partly. Because Willoughby self-identifies as a trans woman, though, he demands, like many other LGBTQ++s, that he, she be referred to with she pronouns, or maybe they pronouns, but after all, who really cares, says the author. Rowling, a notable public figure, refused to play ball. And here we are today, 3 years later, with the imminent execution of the Hate Crimes and Public Order Scotland Bill, which prohibits, at point of a gun, using the wrong gender pronouns in reference to people who have more rights than you do. Oh, by the way, if you're curious, but still actually know the difference between an innie and an outie, and you misgender someone in once free Scotland, 7 years in the re-education camp for you. So here we are. A pervert in Scotland can molest your daughter, but don't you dare call them the wrong pronoun or you go to the gulag. The state of Oregon wants you to know you don't have any right to eat if they have their way. They've sent dozens, perhaps hundreds, but the numbers are still coming in, of cease and desist orders to various small family farms around that once free state saying, Tongue, you better cut it out. They're using something called CAFO laws that have to do with confining animals in small spaces. And it turns out that big, well-connected corporate farms can do it all they want. But if you're a family farm, you can't possibly jump the hurdles we've got planned for you. We'll either fine you out of existence or just take your farm. Either way, no food for anybody that relies on what you're producing. It's called selective enforcement. We've talked about it before. You take a law that, at least on paper, sounds really good, and you use it for something entirely different, Achtung, than what those that were gullible enough to allow you the power thought you were going to do with it. As Ayn Rand put it in Atlas Shrugged, there's no way to rule innocent men. The only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals. Well, when there aren't enough criminals, you make more of them. You just declare so many things to be crimes that it becomes impossible for men to live without breaking so-called laws. And aren't we seeing that writ large today, folks? Case in point, this story from the District of Criminals, where the criminals run the roost. Michigan attorney Stephanie Lambert Huntilla was arrested in the swamp on Monday following a court hearing. After she gave evidence of a number of crimes to law enforcement, SIC, containing internal emails from, Dominion Voting Systems. Whereupon, she was clapped in irons and hauled off to the gulag. Let that be a lesson to you. Her problem? Lambert had attended a court hearing in the swamp for a defamation case involving her client, Patrick Byrne, the former CEO of Overstock, who's being sued by the vote-rigging company extraordinaire over his claims that there was fraud in that rigged 2020 election. Somehow, folks, confidential documents from Dominion got leaked to Berry County Sheriff Dar Leaf, who's not only been investigating claims of voter fraud from the 2020 rigged election, but actually sent a letter to U.S. Representative Jim Jordan urging a congressional investigation into claims of foreign interference in that rigged circus. Because supposedly non-existent back doors into these voting machines were accessed by foreign nationals, among others, across the U.S., including Michigan, to manipulate election results. And during the hearing, Lambert admitted to passing these Dominion materials to Sheriff Leaf because she was reporting a crime to law enforcement. Well, the moral, we know it. It's not a crime when they do it. We'll wrap up the week with this World War III update. Here's a piece from the WorldNet Daily source, J.M. Phelps, about an interview with a retired Brigadier General Blano Holt, United States Air Force, who served as the Deputy U.S. Military Representative to NATO and is co-founder of a nonprofit group called Restore Liberty. And he fears the worst under the Biden Fuhrer, noting that the evidence of betrayal is, and I couldn't help but think he's right on with this, undeniable. Quote, it's just not statistically possible for an administration to make 100% of its decisions counter to United States interest without some other factor at play. And he added, if Americans want to know what that factor is, start watching what Congressman Comer is doing in his oversight committee. And at this point, the WND article helps us out by noting that Representative James Comer of Kentucky is chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability. And according to Holt, quote, every single day, he's peeling back the onion on the Chinese compromise of this administration. For example, in a March 14 press release, Comer announced, quote, a government-wide investigation into the Chinese Communist Party's ongoing efforts to target, influence, and infiltrate every sector and community in the United States, including but not limited to America's education, agriculture, critical infrastructure, research, energy, business, space, and technology sectors. And as Holt put it, in every area, the Chinese are not only making deals favorable to the Chinese and their interests, but also to their second and third-tier interests, including Russia and Iran. And if you look through that prism, he said, things start to explain themselves. Take Iran, he said, as the first example. We won't mess with them because we'd be messing with China's oil supplier. That's why we're doing nothing more than throwing rocks at the Iranian-backed Houthis instead of just ending them. We also, he said, have a wide-open southern border that compromises, to put it mildly, folks, American security. And he added, fentanyl is killing the country, but once again, it's the Chinese alliance with the cartels that makes China off-limits. And when you look at all these inconsistencies or outright malevolencies, is this regime, he said, and I changed one word there, doing anything that's not helpful to Chinese interests? The only saving grace we have is that the Chinese regime seems to be coming down under its own weight economically. But those problems still won't change their long-term strategic goals, regardless of what's happening domestically for them. And they still have Russia, Iran, and North Korea continuing to menace the world while they plot to destroy America as we know it. Yeah, with the wholehearted cooperation, folks, of an illegitimate puppet regime there in the swamp. Noting that no previous regime has ever had a national security team that's gone 0 out of 100, he added, fighting age men are dwelling among us in 3 tiers, and those tiers include migrants, terrorists, and state actors like the People's Liberation Army. Most Americans, he concluded, live in this little bubble where they think that all of our overseas problems just stay overseas, like wars stay overseas. But they think these kinds of things won't visit us here. Still, there is something brewing at home, and it'll take many by surprise. It's intended to, folks. The job of the Ministry of Truth, and the Supreme Court will decide whether or not to keep letting them do it, is to make sure that as many Americans are not only caught off guard as possible, but killed in the process. Don't let them fool you. Scripture says, see that you are not deceived, and that's more important today than it ever has been. Thanks again for your support and for being with us this week. Shabbat shalom, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.